City Talk Breakfast with Mick Coyle.
City Talk 105.9.
We've got a special guest in the studio, very pleased to say, Tranmere Rovers co-owner Mark Palios, former FA chief exec as well, and he's in the studio. Morning to you, Mark. Good
morning.
To have you with us.
Morning.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Have got 1,001 different things about Tranmere Rovers Football Club to talk about between now and nine. There's England to discuss as well, I'm sure. You're aware that on the back pages of the papers, the under-21s have been widely discussed.
Yep.
I wonder whether or not you've got flashbacks to post-tournament blues that seems to sort of surround English football.
Probably too many, actually, but yes.
He's seen it all before, and he's on the show this morning. I'm sure if Tranmere fans have got questions about certain aspects of the football club, I'm sure if you fire them in, tweet them in, Mark will do his best to answer them on the show as well today, at CityTalk1059. That's at CityTalk1059. I've got actually as well about Danny Holmes. We'll do that as well between now and nine as well, who left the football club yesterday and was sort of wonderfully honest about his feelings about leaving the football club. And for those people who always look at footballers and say they don't really care, they're not really that bothered, really open and honest conversation between City Talk 105.9 and Danny Holmes yesterday, which we'll touch on as well. Mark, there's plenty moving at the football club, which do continue to exist during summers as well, particularly as summer when you've got to make the plans that you've got to make now for being in the new National League.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a shock to Nicky. I think Nicky thought that when we came to the club, we'd have a close season and that was it. But the reality is, I knew that we had to do a couple of things. One was rebuilding off the park, and two was rebuilding on the park. So actually, it's probably the busiest time of the year for the board, as it were, if you're involved in an executive capacity, as we are. So, you know, day by day, we still don't have an hour to spend for ourselves. We'll be away on holiday for a couple of weeks, but we're only going to a place in France, and we'll be in contact every day, and I'm sure the emails will be flying backwards and forwards. Because there's a lot to do off the park at Tranmere. There's a lot to do in terms of getting the business fixed off the park. And that is, that of course, provides the platform going forwards.
In terms of the Project Tranmere that you've got ongoing at the moment, yourself and Nicola, and everybody working at the football club at the moment, there's the footballing aspect to it, and then there's the business aspect to it. Now, at the moment, you're obviously concentrating very heavily on the business aspect to it, but then, of course, the fans, they care really about the football inside of it as well. How are you marrying those two at the moment to make sure they get it right? Because, of course, the story starts, doesn't it, now outside of the Football League?
Yeah, well, before we went down, of course, we were looking at the contingency that we may well go down. And my view was that I had to get a manager in very quickly. So even before we went down, although you couldn't advertise the fact that was a potential because you didn't want to use the word conference, we were looking at managers, and I knew I wanted to get a manager in quickly, because if you get a manager in quickly, you can then actually attack the market, and you can shop at the front end of the market rather than being shopping what's left in the shop window at the end of the market. And I think that was important, and we did that. And people like James Norwood, I'm not going to single out players in particular, but James was our first signing and was a major signing, because he's clearly a very talented forward and has a lot of potential. We got Lewis Maynard. We fixed the centre of the back, as it were. So we were shopping at the time we wanted to shop. So that was ongoing right from day one. And driving the squad reconstruction has been a major part of my day with Gary. And Gary clearly is getting on with that and has built the spine of the team. There's a few more additions to make. But so that's been ongoing. Alongside of that, of course, we've had we've had all the work to do off the park, which we've been sort of basically gutting the place in the main stand. We're also doing lots for the disabled supporters improvements. We're changing the seats, and there's been a perennial problem for people with sort of seats getting more and more decayed and dangerous, to be quite honest. And we're putting up the new scoreboard. But one thing I would say on that, I've used the phrase "we're doing that," but actually the reality is, if you look at the disabled supporters' improvements, they have themselves have gone out, raised cash, and helped to contribute towards that. We've had the Trust, who we work very closely with. They again have helped to fund part of that and other improvements, such as the scoreboard, etc. And equally, we've had supporters who are contractors who've been working on the improvements within the stand and the improvements within the ground. And they've done things like they've cut their costs to the minimum. They've worked all hours. They've taken sponsorship as part of the payment. I mean, really, it's been a fantastic team effort, and I think that's the one thing that when you look at Danny, you think that, well, you know, he's got an emotional attachment to the club, but there's so many people have that attachment, and we're seeing the evidence of that in the way they work with us over the close season.
Is goodwill an important thing when you're at that level? Now it's the old conference, now the National League. Is goodwill something that you'd need to have as a business? Is it something which works that would be unaffordable otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, any business needs goodwill. And I used to say that when I was at the FA, if we had 30 million people watching England play in an important match in the championships, in the European Championships or in the World Cup, you know, there are many businesses would die for that strength of brand. And then when you take it to a place like Tranmere, it's absolutely important because we don't rely on television monies like higher up in the higher echelons of league football in this country. You can do, and the gate is, it's not an irrelevance, but it's less of a relevance to us. The gate is all important, and the involvement of fans is desperately important. And in fairness, when I came back to Tranmere, I knew that would be a major aspect. And I keep on saying to people, and I said it when I walked in, that I hate it when people call us the owners of the club. Yes, technically we own the share capital of the club, but I've very often said the real owners of the club are the fans. You know, and you talk to the ones who are doing the stuff with us now and helping us work on this. It's not to make money for us. It's actually to improve their club. And I always go back to the biggest example to me was if you look at when the FA wrongly allowed the franchise of Wimbledon to move up the M1 to Milton Keynes. I mean, Milton Keynes, I worked there for a while, and it's a city that does deserve to have a league football team, but I don't think it was right to take the franchise from Wimbledon. And you now see Wimbledon have resurrected themselves, and we played them last year, and you know, one of my former partners at PwC is basically the exec chair there. And he's been instrumental in resurrecting that club, which is essentially the fans. And so, you know, I think you have to recognise that. So whilst we have that absolute support from the fans, you can never disrespect it. You should never disrespect it. You should never take it for granted. And I think it's been there and it's latent and it's been frustrated over many years. And we're now seeing that positive aspect coming through again.
And I think that's a key point there, because you talked about disability access, the way you've done, the suites being ripped out so you can, you know, get the corporate side of things right, all sorts of different elements to that that are being introduced as well. Were the club guilty of just simply standing still when you came into the club? Had things like that simply stopped happening? Had the club simply stopped doing things like that? And there'd been a period of stagnation which you needed to get out of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to criticise previous regimes at all, but far from it, because the very fact that we're able to do what we're doing today was due to the largesse of Peter Johnson, who has written off his loans to the club, etc. And he gave the club some of its best years. But it, like all, you know, benefactor models, it at some stage that will run out and you have to find another benefactor unless you fix the business model. So, you know, and if you're trying to sell the club, then you know, if you're trying to sell your house, you do not put a new suite, a new bathroom in, a new kitchen in. And so you see that in the business. And then one of the things that I do know is that if you don't invest in the business, then your management, the perspective of management, they just don't look out the window. You know, they've got their heads down and they're cutting costs, etc. And as a consequence, you know, you get what you get in a business. And it's not unusual to see that once you've had a lack of investment in it over a period of years. Unfortunately, that was coming home to roost when we walked in and we saw that was happening. And we got relegated from Div 1 and the trend continued.
You've got an open day tomorrow. People can go down and see the club still exists, despite not being in the Football League, 95 years and all that. The club's still there. There's work going on at the football club. Next season, football will be played at Prenton Park as well. Is it important to get that message out? Because there are people who felt like they fell into an abyss last year, that it was all over. The dream had died. You've got a message now, almost from a PR point of view, haven't you, to get it out that the club still exists. People whose attention had been on the club for all those years, they can still come to Tranmere Rovers Football Club. They can get that sense of ownership, and also they can be part of this journey.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I you know, I don't have to tell them that. I think the fans know that themselves, because yes, it was. And I said at the time, you know, it was devastating, and it was. And it's been devastating every day you get up. You realise you're not in the Football League. And that still hurts. But it wasn't disastrous. And it wasn't disastrous because, as I've said before, we think we've got a position where the club has no debt at the moment other than debts that will be written off. And that's within our gift. So, you know, we're in a position, if we're going to go down, we're in a far better position going down. But that's not for the fans. The fans actually understand that, yes, you know, Saturday will come round again. And yes, there will be affordable live football. And yes, it will be Tranmere Rovers who are playing. And hopefully winning, you know, a lot more games than we won in Division 2 and Division 1 in the last few years. So I think that people will realise. And it's an opportunity, if nothing else, because one of the things that we are going to do is to really get into the schools and get into the 5 to 12-year-olds. Because if you capture that, then, you know, medium term, they will be the fans. And so many people have said, I remember going for the first time, etc. So we have specific plans to get into the school market. We're starting with things like every reception kid's going to get free tickets for one game. You know, they'll get a ticket and they'll get one for their parents as well. We're trying to promote, and we've got lots of schools that have already come in without us promoting it very heavily. They've come in for reward tickets to reward pupils for, you know, good efforts, good behaviour, whatever. So if you've got young kids coming and they're actually seeing a winning team, then it sticks. And lots of people will get the book. So that's a medium-term thing. But no, there are opportunities for us. And I think that the enthusiasm around the club is amazing. And the optimism around the club is amazing. So, yes, we went down. There's one other thing I'd say, and that is that, you know, it's not pleasant. I'm not saying we're a league club. But the reality is it's probably the fifth league. And you know, if you look at all the foreigners that have come into the game and pushed out. I mean, when I played, to play in the first division or the top flight, you had to be one of the best players in England. Now you've got to be one of the best players in the world. So it's all pushed down a division, as it were. And you know, the quality and the standard of the teams at the top of the National League is no different to the teams in the bottom half of Division 2.
Yeah, you're talking to a Chorley fan, by the way. We got beat in the Conference North playoff final at Guiseley, who you'll be playing next year. That could have been Chorley. That would have been so sweet.
I've played at Chorley.
Matt, what did Tranmere fans say to you now? Because you're tremendously positive about the future as well, but there was the relegation, Mickey Adams, the number of players came into the football club as well, and falling out of the league as well. Are people reconciled with that one, or are people still saying, you know, Mark, you made a mistake with Mickey Adams in the first place, you didn't act quick enough in getting rid of him towards the end of the season as well? What did he say?
Well, they don't very often have the debate with me, and I guess that's the function of opportunity, really. There are a few things in that, and one is that you can look at stats, and stats have a part to play. They ask questions, they don't answer them. And I think the game at times is driven by this, you know, stats obsession. But if you, and I can go back and I can rationalise how the season panned out. But at the time, everybody felt that Mickey Adams was, you know, the ideal appointment. I think when I've spoken to business audiences about football, I've always said it's an art, not a science. If I'm actually somebody who buys a machine, then I know what the cost is. And I know what the cost of running it is. I know what the output will be. I know what I can sell that output for. So, you know, it's a straight sort of investment decision. You put the cash in, you get this out the other end. With football, it isn't like that. And with any of the arts, it's not like that. It's an art, not a science. And so you don't always get exactly what you expect to get, and there's lots of factors that come in. So with regard to whether we acted quickly or not, well, you make a judgment call. And if you actually sit there and say, well, Mickey had done the job that he was asked to come in to do by January, which is to keep us in touch. We were more than in touch. We were actually above, and Mickey was nominated for Manager of the Month. In February, we'd had a couple of iffy results, and we brought in players that I think, by general view, were better than the players that we started the season with. So you've always got this question of whether they will gel or not. They didn't have the background of gelling with, you know, a bag of points in the bag, because we were just there by the skin of our teeth. We didn't have that. So when we had a bad run, and when you're trying to get the guys to gel, and some of the players, in fairness, you knew you were shopping at the wrong time of the season, because you should have done your work, as I say, early on in the close season. You know, they weren't in the team of the club they were at because they potentially were not fit, or they'd had injuries, or they had a lack of form. But there were still better players than that which we had at the start of the season. So That was all part of the plan. You say, OK, give them time to gel. And then through February, the results started to go against the lack of confidence. But then you get to, you know, if you're talking about seminal points, you get to the time we played top of the league Shrewsbury, got promoted, we beat them at home, played well. Went on the Tuesday night to Portsmouth, who were playing well, 15,000 people there. We were 2-0 up, 20 minutes to go, coasting. As comfortable as I've seen us for a long time. Injury, changed the format, and it all goes down the pan. And from there on, and interestingly, the next game was Cheltenham. And if we'd gone into Cheltenham with a win against Shrewsbury and a away win against Portsmouth, I think we'd have beaten Cheltenham, and then we'd have been 10 points clear of them. And then the confidence would have built. As it was, it went the other way. So again, you can rationalise it till your heart's content, or you can pay your money and take your choice. But you know, some time out from the season, I looked at where we were. There were still glimmerings of the guys gelling, etc., and took the decision to back the manager. And do I think that was the right decision or the wrong decision? I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, people say it was the wrong decision, but you know, just look back. You had a manager who was potentially named manager of the month 6 weeks earlier, and you had a new squad of players who he'd brought in who were better than the players that we had at the start of the season. So, as I say, at the time,
all the inputs were the correct inputs. It was just the process, and then the output wasn't as you would have hoped it to be.
Well, the output certainly wasn't as I hoped it to be, but. You know, it's just one of those things. There's a limit to what you can do, and yeah, with hindsight, people can say you should have sacked the manager, but nobody knows how that would have panned out.
Mark Palios is with us on City Talk 105.9. Justin, morning, Justin, on Twitter, listening to the show. I've called you a co-owner. You and Nicola, co-owners, that's right, isn't it? Are you standalone?
We're co-owners, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's questioning whether or not you're a co-owner. But no, it's a partnership, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a partnership. We both own the club 50-50. But it's the point I was making was we put money into to buy the club, but the reality is that it's the fans that own the club, and we're actually the stewards of the club, so we're responsible for the direction it takes.
There you go. So just co-owner, you know, husband and wife partnership there. And you mentioned that 50-50 the club. Are you now sole? Are you outright in terms of?
No, there's a small percentage of other. Shareholders, people who want to have that sort of shareholding in the club. And so, you know, there will be, I think there's about 600, I think, from memory. And we'll have an AGM towards the end of July, and we'll explain to them where we are.
City Talk Breakfast with Mick Coyle.
City Talk 105.9.
Guest in the studio this morning is the Tranmere Rovers co-owner, Mark Palios. Do you get enough coverage in the Echo, Mark?
Yeah, it was interesting. You said you can decide whether you want to buy it yourself if you're a Liverpool or an Everton fan or a Tranmere fan. So, I mean, we're realistic. We understand that you know, you've got two Premier League clubs, and we're fortunate to have two Premier clubs on Merseyside. And they do give us coverage. I mean, everybody would like more coverage. And I'm sure that's something we will work on over the period of time, because we get reasonable coverage from Merseyside and from City, I think that, you know, it's all part and parcel. If you've got a business whereby you can basically advertise, you know, I can come on here and talk to you about the club and you get airtime, there's lots of other businesses that can't do that, so we should maximise that. And yeah, we'd like more coverage, but
there was something that got a great deal of coverage on the social media yesterday. I'm just going to play this for people who haven't heard it. Danny Holmes, lovely lad, footballer with Tranmere Rovers Football Club, moved on to Newport County, and he spoke to City Talk 105.9. For those people who say that footballers don't care, this is Danny Holmes.
It's not just the football side of it. It's like, obviously, bringing it home and like sharing it with your family and stuff like that. But to be honest, that's been pretty hard on me. But it's hard not to get upset about it, but that's life.
What does it mean to you then to be leaving Tranmere, a club that means so much to you?
It's gotten really, and to be fair, it's been. I hate to get upset about it, but I just can't help it, and it's been a massive part of my life, and I just really hope it doesn't end here like this. But I need, like I said, I need to do what's best for me, and. I just need to look. I've never been selfish in this situation, and I think I need to be a little bit selfish now for the future, but I don't want to be bitter or obviously get upset about it, but I can't help it sometimes. And I honestly wish Tranmere bounced straight back up, and I will be there supporting. And I just, like I said, I just got to look after myself now.
That's Danny Holmes speaking to City Talk 105.9, and Matty Jones there asking the questions. It's quite a tough listen, that, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it gives me a bit of a choke in the throat as well. Danny, of all the players at the club, can hold his head up, certainly in the season that we had last year. And I think he's got nothing to be ashamed about in there. you know, from a professional perspective, you wouldn't expect me to talk about individual player negotiations, contract negotiations. Gary Brabin has a budget. He'll be judged as to how he uses that budget by the fans and by myself at the club. And that's where that has been. I think with regard to Danny, as I say, he can hold his head up. There's a few players who can't look themselves in the mirror over the last season, and the fans will know who they are. But Danny certainly can. And I mean, I know how hard it is. I personally remember, even to this day, the day that I walked out of the club with my boots under my arm, and I remember crossing the threshold going out of the club, because ironically the new manager Frank Worthington was coming in the other way, and we just shook hands and I went and moved on, and for me that was a massive thing. And even though I was at the age whereby I was expecting it to happen, because then I was going down south to become a partner in Ernst & Young, so it wasn't, if you like, massively unexpected. But it was still a massive wrench when you walked out and crossed that threshold.
There'll be people who listen to that and say, Danny is exactly the sort of person that Tranmere Rovers need. Are there those sorts of people still at the football club? Are the players that the manager's bringing in at the moment the sorts of players who will have that desire, who will, when they do, for whatever reason, walk away from the football club or leave the football club, they do it with a very, very heavy heart, with the best wishes of Tranmere Rovers in their minds?
Yeah, I mean, there are two things there. I mean, one is that Danny's a special lad and he has a special relationship with the club. And, you know, you won't find 90% of the players at football clubs having that relationship, but he does. And so he's special. I think with regard to the players that you're bringing in, they all are the types who will be committed to the club. They have, you know, use the technical term, they've got goal alignment, pardon the pun. In other words, if we do well and they do well, then they can move on in their careers, etc. There's something to play for. They're all at a certain age and they are, you know, characters that will be committed. I think also there's an element that we've tried to sort of, again, bring in and avoid the reliance on loans. So guys have either got two-year contracts or one, a full one-year contract, so we'll have, you know, the core of the team will be like that. So I think that from a different angle, they will be committed to the cause. And some of them, in fact, most of them, have had offers from other clubs, even from league clubs, from League One and League Two, some of them. But they came because it wasn't for the cash. They came because they understood what was happening at Tranmere and it was the right time. And so one of the things that Gary and myself are trying to get across to the players is that you make the move, but you make a football decision. You make it for football reasons, not for cash. And we've lost a player through, he made a cash decision rather than the football decision. So as close as we can to getting people who are committed to the cause, we will do. But, you know, lads like Danny are special because he's grown up with the club and he knows the club. And yeah, it was a hard listen.
Mark Palios is with us at the open day at Tranmere Rovers tomorrow. Have you got the details for that, just in terms what's on and where people can come down, and even people who've drifted away from the club, a great opportunity to sort of head back in towards it?
Yeah, no, the club's open from 12 till 4 and we're going to have the players down, so they'll be there in two shifts, 12 to 2 and 2 till 4, and they'll be signing, you know, taking photographs and signing. You can come in, you can see the ground improvements, which we're doing on the ground. You can even see the grass grow, which is not the most exciting thing in the world, but it excites some of the people there, and you can see the new facilities. But we've actually got activities on. There's because we're planning to, if we can, we'll try and put a fan zone on. We're quite sort of symbolically where the director's car park is, so the directors don't have a nice easy walk in. So and it'll be in there. There'll be stalls. There'll be a beer tent if you're old enough to drink, etc. And a bit of entertainment for the kids. So bring the kids along. Have a look at the club, and yes, you can have a look at the new hospitality rooms and the work and the extent of the work that's going on there.
Plus, the grass is growing. Presumably, the paint is drying as well.
There's still a bit of painting to do because we've had so much work on. But I think people were commenting on the fact when I did some of the interviews on the FIFA bit from the ground, because I always like to do it from the ground to give us a bit more publicity. And the pitch just looked like New Brighton Beach. Well, not like New Brighton Beach. I had sand on it, so.
City Talk Breakfast with Mick Coyle.
City Talk 105.9.